Thermal imaging is a technology in wide use today. And in its most basic terms, thermal imaging allows you to see an object's heat radiating off of itself. You've probably read or heard about it in our recent forest fires in California and other parts of the world, but hot spots become very identifiable with thermal imaging. It's also used where there's excess energy, heat that is, escaping a building, so they know that they need to insulate it a lot better than it is, or at least solve that particular problem. It's also used in medical applications as a way of identifying perhaps out-of-control growth, such as cancer in a body. The bottom line is the hotter an object is, the more infrared radiation it emits or produces. Now, in the Bible, the imaging of hot and cold is applied to love. And Jesus spoke of our time in this regard. Matthew 24 and verse 12 is my beginning point for quoting the Bible here. Matthew 24 and verse 12. Christ is warning about conditions at the end of the age, the way things would be, and for us, the way things are right now. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now, we understand that this lawlessness is disobedience. Well, let's continue. He had more to say about this. Matthew 25 and verse 8. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. But again, this application, this imaging of hot and cold. Matthew 25 and verse 8. And the foolish, identifying one of the two groups mentioned here, said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Well, the bottom line here is that they simply were not ready. And then a further quote to make my point about this contrast between cold and hot. Revelation 3 and verse 16. Christ is warning a group of people, church members, and as I've mentioned these three scriptures, understand that these are scriptures that warnings that apply to us as church members, those who have understanding. It's not just to the world that this is being directed. Of course, the world can take understanding from it if they choose to, perhaps. But this is directed to us, brethren, and we need to think about this very seriously. It's the very thing that will separate us from the body of Christ if we're not careful. Revelation 3 and verse 16. Christ speaking to this particular group of people. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. They weren't zealous. They weren't on fire for the truth of God. And that's what you can take from the meaning of that zealousness that Christ said that they needed to have. Even in their zealousness, they should do what? They should repent, to turn back to God. There's a little bit more to the message here. Christ said, I counsel of you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. So hotness, heat will come back to them, but perhaps not the way they could have chosen. Now, this is just a general setting that you find in the Word of God about hot and cold. And I want to make a point that the Bible also emphasizes, something that we can take and apply very personally. You need to make I need to make, and we all need to make, love our hotspot. So think about the thermal imaging. It penetrates even smoke and other kinds of things to show where the heat really is. As God looks at this world, he's probably wondering, where is the love that I, by example, have shown to you in that I gave my only son? This is the kind of love that God had for the world to save us. So it falls to us who, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, have this opportunity to make love our hotspot. We need to radiate intense love. Now, that's kind of a general heading, but I want to back it up and make the point even more directly by what is written in the Word of God. And I'll begin in 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. Now here, Peter's writing as a fairly mature individual, having lived a lot of years as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He has this to say, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Fervent love. That's hotspot love. That's love that is easily recognizable, particularly by God, and that's who we serve, but that also is recognizable in the society at large. Let's continue. Philippians 1 and verse 9. Philippians 1 and verse 9. Here, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, "And this I ask, this I pray, that your love may abound." How? "Still more and more in the knowledge and all discernment." Or in knowledge, I should say, in all discernment. So he's speaking of this flame of love growing hotter and hotter, abounding still more and more. And then a third reference, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. Paul writes, and here he's writing to the ministry as well as to the membership, but in particular to Timothy as a minister, telling him how to equip himself to accomplish the work that was set before him, that he was responsible for. And he said, "Therefore I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." That gift was the Holy Spirit. But he says, stir it up. You know how you make a flame grow, don't you? Well, you've got to have the fuel, but if you add oxygen to the process, you can make it burn hotter and hotter. You can actually weld metal together if you have the right combination of air and oxygen, oxygen and a fuel. Well, here Paul is saying, stir up the gift of God. Do what we're supposed to do in terms of our living the godly way of life so that that spirit can work more openly and more with that intense love that we are responsible to grow in. As a final question then, how then do we as Christians actually keep love from growing cold? And what spawned my short sermonette here today was, how do you handle what Christ said in Matthew 24, verse 12, when he said that the love of many, knowing that the many has to do with a numeration of the church of God in particular, how do you overcome this growing cold? Well, we come back to something so fundamental, so well known, so tried and true that maybe we have trampled on it a little bit by not paying close enough attention to it and being reminded of what we should be doing. So then, how do we Christians keep love from growing cold? Christ gave the answer. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. Matthew 22, verse 37 to begin with. Christ is responding to a question he received. It wasn't a question of perhaps the best of motives, but his answer was certainly the correct and marvelous one, which I will now read. Matthew 22 and verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." He isn't leaving any trapdoors here, any escape clauses in this statement. This is total, red-hot, intense love that he's talking about. Is that how we love God, that intensely, with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind? Continuing in verse 38, "This is the first and great commandment," he said. This is your starting point. This is what you have to have in place. But that's not even all of it. Then you come to verse 39, and the second is like it. Jesus states, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You know, in the Church of God, we have through the gift of God's Holy Spirit, a unique love for one another, outgoing concern. It even transcends family relationships oftentimes. And the family relationship is where we are taught to love one another and to learn selflessness. But in the church, we have this remarkable relationship that we must preserve, and we preserve that by the kind of love that we find in the Word of God. Well, just some short reminders for us. But when it comes to making love our hot spot, our target, you know, the central aspect of our lives, or the thing that we work the most on, this, brethren, we must do above everything, above all things.